Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, check this out. I've been waiting to get this guy on my radio show. It's been a few years, man. I've been wanting to get this guy on my radio show. It's pretty awesome he's finally on. Yeah, I'm a big fan of his. Jojo War Drummer is a big fan of this guy. Who you ask, you're about to find out. Yeah, if you notice, everybody, Jojo War Drummer changed up his music theme. Because it's War Machine. And it's War Machine, it's time, meaning it's time, it's playoff time. So I stopped my regular radio show opening music because we had to get funky and crazy about it, man. That's what I'm talking about. It's a good day for lacrosse with Jojo Wardrummer, MLL Radio, Major League Lacrosse Radio, and the Laxworm Radio Experience. We have MLL playoffs at stake here. This is we're not messing around anymore. It's not regular season anymore, everybody. You have to perform, and you have to perform well to get to the playoffs. Each and every game, each and every quarter, and so on and so forth. And some teams did it and made it, and some teams came close, and some teams didn't even come too close. But anyways, without further ado, let's get John Ortolani, face-off master from the Rochester Rattlers, in on the War Drum Roll Hotline. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, man. So we're gonna talk a little bit about MMA in a little while, but let's first of all hit up a hot topic right now. Well, MMA, as far as I'm concerned, is always hot. But let's talk about Major League Lacrosse, the Major League Lacrosse playoffs. The hashtag is hashtag MLL playoffs, MLL playoffs. And this Saturday, the Rochester Rattlers are going to be playing the Ohio Machine on CBS Sports Network at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Mountain Standard Time in the Pacific. All you people out on the West Coast, look for 1 o'clock. But John, so what are you doing to? I'm calling this segment Rattler Strike, okay? Because a Rattler strikes, and you guys are not just going to rattle anymore. You guys are in there to strike, and you're the leadoff man on that, meaning the faceoff guy. What are you going to do to get your team ready?
This weekend, actually, Mike Poppleton's getting the start. We played Ohio this regular season, and Poppleton did a much better job against Greg Piskulgin, who's having a phenomenal year since he got out of college. So Mike Poppleton's getting the start this weekend. Hopefully he can repeat his performance he had last time we played Ohio and get us a W.
Yeah, that's a good teammate. That's a good teammate right there, man. But you're like – I know, like Major League Lacrosse and other sports, every sport pretty much is, it's about matchups and how the coaches do well with those matchups. Are you going to be ready, though, in case something goes down?
Oh, of course. I'm always ready to go.
I believe it. Hey, John, you're very fast, meaning you clamp down on the faceoff fast. And then you start running towards making a beeline towards wherever you need to go. And in practice, how does that look in practice? Because in game time, it's pretty unreal on how fast you are. How does that look in practice?
In practice, it's tough a lot because we usually only travel one faceoff guy to the games. So a lot of times I'm doing a lot of training on my own instead of having a partner to take reps with. So a lot of the times while the rest of the team's doing their offense and defense stuff, I'm practicing my technique on my own and working on getting the ball out and sprinting as fast as I can to where I need to go.
And what about the Rattlers? Let's talk about a little bit real quick about the regular season. How well did you and your team perform during this during the regular season? And how satisfied as you are with you and your team?
We had our ups and downs this year. You know, we started out a little slow. Mm-hmm. We didn't really have a lot of our teammates at the beginning of the year. Some had coaching conflicts. Others were playing in NLL still. So mid-season, we really, really hit our stride, started clicking. And then we started, we got all our rookies to come in after the college seasons were over, and a lot of them made made some big impacts for us. Kevin Rice is playing phenomenal since he joined the team. Randy Stats has been having some great games. We got Mark Matthews back after his NLL championship, which is great to have. He's really been on a tear. It's been an awesome awesome year once we hit our stride and really started clicking as a team.
How important is it for your defense to play well? Because Ohio Machine is every MLL team is stacked, but at the attack position, a lot of people say that they're young and they're fast. But I've been going on the MLL playoff radio shows, and JoJo Wardrummer is predicting that for this playoff game to be, of course, a hardcore battle. But I'm predicting the Rochester Rattlers to come away with a one goal, two goal, or even up to a three goal lead. But how is your defense is going to prove JoJo Wardrummer's stats correct?
It's been a battle since Mike Manley went down with an injury middle of the season.
Right.
A lot of the other guys have had to really step up and fill in. But the rest of our defensemen are very underrated. We have some great defensemen. John Lade's one of the best defensemen in the league. Will Kashansky's really stepped up. And then Joel White and John LoCascio are, you know, just continuing their phenomenal play. We've had a couple other guys fill in here and there to kind of step in and fill that role when needed. But we're really coming together as a team, playing really good team defense. And, you know, the biggest part about our D is communication. When the guys communicate, it's very hard to get past them. And John Galloway in the net is, you know, a huge backstop for us. Really keeps the team, the D, together on the same page. And, you know, if we can stay on the same page and make sure we're communicating, I think we're going to be hard to score on.
And what do you think Ohio Machine's answer could be for even you? Because if your coach is listening, you can relate to your coach. JoJo Wardrummer wants to see John on. In this game, and I seriously want to see you. I'm going to be watching from TV. I wish I could be in Ohio watching the game, but I'm going to be at home watching on the TV on CBS Sports Network. And I want to see John out there, man, because I love your very aggressive style of play. But does Ohio bring anything to help contain your offensive threats, meaning stats, Jordan Wolf and Kevin Rice? What can they do? And what is your answer for that?
You know, a lot of teams have been trying different things to shut off Wolf, because he's very hard, one of the hardest guys to cover one-on-one in the league. So a lot of teams have been doing different things to try to slow him down. But we have so many weapons offensively that, if you try to shut off Wolf, so many other guys are making plays and taking the attention off of him a little bit, allowing him to make plays off ball and be a lot more plays that aren't necessarily noticed on the stat sheet. But there are so many weapons. We've had so many guys step up this year and have outstanding years. So it's, as an offense, we're very, very hard to stop, because there's just so many angles you can come at you from.
Hey John, you guys made it to the championship game in Atlanta, Georgia, last season down in Kennesaw Stadium. Beautiful stadium, by the way, and beautiful place. I love Atlanta, and I'm looking forward to them having a team. But we'll talk about a little bit. I want to get your opinion on that as well in a little bit. But you guys have some experience, and you guys have a strong hunger. Not that every other team doesn't, but you guys were like kind of tasting it right there, especially through most of the game last year. Do you think that's going to help motivate you guys that much stronger, something that Ohio Machine does not have?
Yeah, it's another just another thing to add to the chip on our shoulder. We felt that we had that game and kind of blew the game away ourselves last year in the championship. But at the same time, we beat Ohio last year in the semifinals and ended their season. So I'm sure they have that same type of revenge aspect motivating them too. So it's really going to be a battle this year too.
Hey, John, speaking about your surroundings, yours truly right here, JoJo Wardrummer, like I just said, announced that my prediction is Rochester Rattlers to come away with a fairly close but a victory nonetheless this weekend against Ohio Machine. But all my compadres on MLL Radio are predicting Ohio Machine to come away with a 1 or 2 point goal win. Does that add another chip on your shoulder to prove? Because you guys, yeah, we were in the championship game. We made it. We're the ones that in the championship game that made the playoffs again. And we're still being underrated. does it strike you like a little bit odd, or is that going to make you go to your team and put an extra fire even under you guys?
Yeah, it's all last year. Everyone expected us to be the underdogs, and we proved a lot of people wrong all year long. So it's nothing new. You know, we kind of thrive on the fact that people are expecting us to come up short, and that's just another fuel to the fire. It's really going to help us push through and take home the cup this year.
You guys are in shape. Not that every other team isn't, again, but you guys are in shape, meaning like mentally in shape. I think a little bit more prepared, only because of the experience. That's my prediction. And that's one of the reasons I'm going with that. And you guys are being underrated again, man. How big is your smile going to be if you guys get past the Ohio Machine? How much extra is that going to happen?
It's going to be great. You know, we have a big rivalry with these guys. You know, mm-hmm. every year is a battle. They have a phenomenal offense. They a lot of guys that can put the ball in the net. So every time we come up with them, it's a great battle. So, you know, beating them, just like last year, we were down early in the game last year and chipped away and ended up coming back for the win. You know, hopefully looking to do the same thing this year and, you know, maybe make it a little bigger of a lead at the end of the game, keep us a little more comfortable, but you know, we're going to be thrilled to come up with that win and move on to the championship game.
I like the way you transitioned into that. And is there any worries at all, or any kind of concern, or just you're going to thrive even going into Ohio in Selby Stadium and playing there?
Yeah, it's a great place to play. You know, the atmosphere is great there. The fans are awesome. You know, we always have a good time when we play there. You know, it's always good. It's always fun to go on the road and spoil the home team's celebration. So. It'll be a lot of fun when we're celebrating in the middle of their stadium.
John, say what's on your mind. It's cool, man. hey, John O'Reilly, so how do you like, this is the second year that this format that the Major League Lacrosse, I like it a lot that the playoffs are at a home particular home team depending on what you're rated and everything like that, as opposed to years prior where all four teams were in that championship stadium. I like this better. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I love having the home field advantage. You know, it gives you a little more incentive to battle for the seedings at the end of the regular season. You know, but at the same time, the old format was great because it really showed you know, which teams are in better shape, taking care of themselves during the week off the field, taking care of their bodies during the week. So that, you know, both formats have their ups and downs, but you know, I really like this. It's really opening up the ability for us to game plan from week to week instead of going to championship weekend and trying to have a practice for both games and have a mindset for both games at the same time. Really allows us to prepare for the semifinal game and have our week to prepare for the championship game too.
Yeah, especially if there's like little bumps and bruises, a little bit more time to heal and. Get your mindset right with your coaches. Yeah, that's true. Especially you. We'll talk about that. Yeah, that's true. And we'll talk about a little bit more about what I was even also going for in a little bit. But so what about your coaching staff? Are they doing anything different than they did last season going into the playoffs?
I don't think they really need to do anything different. You know, they do exactly what they're supposed to do. You know, they prepare us, give us the tools we need to win, and we just have to go out and perform. You know, the coaching staff is great. They're awesome guys. They know what they're talking about. And, you know, we really work together with them as a team to get the game plans down and just prepare for each individual team, each individual matchup. And, you know, we should be ready to go.
And you spoke a little bit about Mark Matthews. So you made the news break right now that Mark Matthews is poised and is ready. Is he acting like he's pretty hungry for this win?
Yeah. Mark's, you know, he's coming off the NLL championship win. I'm sure he would love to add an MLL title in the same season. That would be an awesome accomplishment. He's been playing great since he came in. He's a big offensive threat to handle. Makes it difficult for any team to try to shut him down.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that it just adds such a different dynamic. It's very unorthodox that you guys are on the offensive end, meaning with Mark Matthews and Jordan Wolf and Kevin Rice and Stats, they're all different players. Like their styles are so different, but yet your coaching staff brings them all together quite well, huh?
Yeah, they all play real well off of each other. They all have their own styles, but they blend all together. You know, we have our downhill dodgers, we have our speed dodgers, we have our off ball players. We have, you know, a handful of guys great at the 2-man game. Jordan McIntosh has been playing phenomenal. So everybody, you know, whatever the defense decides to shut off, we can attack so many other different angles because of those different styles, and it's really making us hard to defend.
Hey, John, so speaking about earlier on the conversation on It's a Good Day for Lacrosse with JoJo Wardrummer, you were talking a little bit about depending on matchups and everything like that. So if Rochester Rattlers were going to play either one of the other playoff teams, meaning the not the Ohio Machine, but the New York Lizards or the Boston Cannons, do you think the face-off starting position could have been different depending on who you're playing?
Possibly. Poppleton's been playing great since he's been in there. So it's, you know, it's tough to switch that up. You know, you're going to keep going with what works. You know, as much as I'd love to get in there and play, I'd like our team to win a championship more. So if he's, you know, he's got the hot hand, you're going to keep rolling with him. He had another good game last week, so there's no reason why he shouldn't keep going. Looking forward to him having another great game against Ohio, and then we'll see what happens in the championship, see who we're playing against there.
So, you know, me myself, watching the teams play and watching specifically right now talking about your Rochester Rattlers, I can see you at the attack position because of your speed and your stick skills and your quick feet. I can see you being some crazy attackman. Did you ever think about playing, going to a position and trying out being an attackman?
No, that's ever since I started. I've been more the defensive midi type since I started playing lacrosse. I really love the defensive aspect of the game. I always like to pride myself on shutting down the offensive players. You know, just all around, my athletic mindset has always been on the defensive end. You know, playing football growing up, I was a defensive football player. You know, every sport that I've played in is always, I'm always more defensive minded. That's more my go-to there.
Ah, okay. Well, then there you go. Yeah, you like a football. I could see you being like a Charles Woodson, Hall of Famer style player. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who's going to get a pass? Doesn't matter on how tall the person is. If you could cover your man, you got it. You know.
Yeah, I was a free safety in high school, and then played free safety in college too. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet. And speaking of college, you kind of break the mold, meaning not too many players in the MLL, not a whole bunch of players outside of the Division I ranks. You came from a Division III. Can you explain everybody a little bit on how much work ethic, and explain to the kids that listen? I have a lot of kids that listen to my radio show as well. Can you explain to the kids, like, hard work and everything like that, perseverance and the will and the belief can make you be a professional player?
Yeah, you know, we have a couple guys on the Rattlers that are D3 players, and it's you know, it's awesome to see. You really you don't get as much recognition in college unless you're on one of the top, you know, the top teams going to the championship weekend. So it really takes a little bit extra hard work to get noticed. But you know, it took me an extra year after college to get noticed and get brought up when I originally got drafted by the Boston Cannons. But coming out of a D3 school, it's, you know, it's a lot of pride in making it to this level. And you know, it's kind of a thing. The handful of guys on our team, the D3 guys, share. We really work our butts off to get where we are, and now we're getting recognized for all that hard work.
And then you making it gives a lot of hope for Division II and Division III players, and even MCLA players and stuff like that, because it's possible. It could happen. So congratulations to you, John, on working hard and making it happen and everything like that. And I want to talk to you also a little bit about your other ventures outside of Major League Lacrosse, outside of the MLL. And I want to talk about MMA, man. How is MMA going for you?
It's going pretty good. I haven't had a fight in about a year and a half. I just recently moved down to Tampa area in Florida. Started training and teaching Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at a new gym. Finally kind of settled my training schedule down so I can start training consistently, and I'm looking to fight again early this fall. So it's been going pretty good so far.
That's very cool. Did you find a home gym yet? Like not the one that you only teach at, but did you find also a gym where you teach at and where you're going to be training at as well? Or are you going to be going to a couple of different gyms and such?
I've been training underneath Hobson Mora's gym down in Tampa. He has two gyms in Tampa. I've been training at one of his affiliate schools under Black Belt Lane Andrews. He's going to be my main MMA trainer. But I've been bouncing back and forth between the school with Lane and underneath Hobson Mora, who's a 8-time Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion. So it's great to be underneath a guy with that kind of success and that kind of competitive drive. It's really going to help push me, hopefully, to get some wins down here.
That's very cool. So you're going to – anything – I heard something through the grapevine that something about Titan. Is that – any truth to that rumors about Titan? Everybody – MMA, it stands for Mixed Martial Arts. For all your Major League Lacrosse fans out there, we're talking about John and his ventures in his other sports. And MMA is – you know, Major League Lacrosse and lacrosse is the fastest-growing team sport anywhere. And MMA – mixed martial arts is the fastest growing sport overall, period, in the world. So John is double dipping in both of them, and I'm loving it, and I think this is an awesome situation. So I'm not alone, man. So I think it's great, and I think it's fantastic. John, so anything rumors about Titan?
Well, I was supposed to have a fight for Titan right before I moved to Florida back in December, and my opponent had to pull out of the fight about an hour before the weigh-ins. He had a bad weight cut and was hospitalized for dehydration and whatnot. So that kind of fell through at the last minute, which was a big disappointment, because that would have been a huge fight for me on a, you know, on a big show. That's the show was actually aired on TV. That would have been my first televised fight. So that kind of fell through. So right now down in Florida, I'm going to kind of try to establish my name down here on the local scene and then try to make a push for another big promotion.
Awesome, man. You have my backing on it. If I see it on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you have my backing, and I'll support you, man, because I want to see you get some victories on the lacrosse field and, of course, victories in the MMA world. John, we're coming up on – we still have a few more minutes left, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about MMA before we get back into Major League Lacrosse. So what weight army do you walk around in, and what weight do you go to when you're going to fight in the MMA?
I usually walk around about 180 pounds. I fought anywhere from 155 to 170. You know, the bit higher profile fights when I'm fighting real top competition, I want to fight at 155. That's my prime fighting weight. But I've taken some fights, short notice fights, anywhere in between 155 and 170. But the problem with fighting at 170 is most of the guys are a lot taller than me. I'm just under 5'8". And a lot of the guys that fight at 170 are, you know, 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". And it's very hard to not get punched in the face by those guys. So I really trying to get the weight down for the next fight and fight at 155. It's a little bit more my height. And I'll be able to have a little bit of a strength advantage over those guys. So, you know, it has its ups and downs. When I fight at 170, the weight cut's easier. So I have much more energy in the fights. But, again, I'm fighting tall guys, and any tall guys with good boxing or kickboxing skills, it's very hard to get in tight on them without getting in the face too much.
Right, I understand. And you know, I just want to give, you know, if you ever down in, if you ever come down to the Denver area, to Denver, Colorado, let me know, because I know of a where I go, it's called Grudge Training Center, and I know you know about it. Coach Trevor Whitman is a fantastic coach, and I'm bringing up Trevor Whitman and Grudge Training Center as well, because he loves the game of lacrosse, and he actually, his kid actually even plays lacrosse. So that's a little tie-in right there that we all have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's cool. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Very, very, very cool stuff. A lot of UFC, Bellator fighters and everything go train at the same gym. So we'll keep in touch offline and everything like that too. But I want to get back now to Major League Lacrosse. What did you think of Atlanta? What do you think of their them getting the team. Like, do you think it's going to happen? I sure hope so, man. And I think it is going to. What do you think about Atlanta getting the team? Do you think they could pull it off?
Yeah, I absolutely do. We, you know, the first year on the Rattlers, we played, I believe we played the Boston Cannons down there in one of those trial market games. And there was a great showing, great fan base down there. They had a big youth before the game that we played. There was some bad weather, some thunderstorms right after their tournament before our game that kind of scared some of the fans away. But there was still, even with the thunderstorms, there was still a great, great fan base down there. The stadium's phenomenal that we played at Kennesaw. So I really hope and I think that the MLL will eventually put a team in the Atlanta area, and I think it'll do pretty well.
I think it would do pretty well. Like last year at the championship game, there was like almost there was between approximately almost 9,000 people, and that's pretty good, man. And the fans were awesome. The city was great. I love the heat and the humidity, but it wasn't real bad. It was nice and soft weather and everything like that. I think a team will do quite well because it looks like a great place to live too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a nice area. It'd be a lot of fun to be able to, you know, travel to, add one more location in the country to travel to play. It'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. And the geographics of it all is fantastic as well. Like you're swooping down to the southeast, and then you're swooping up, and then, well, you know, just talking about Atlanta right now. But what would you think a name could be called for Atlanta? You got the Atlanta Hawks. You got the Atlanta Falcons. I know, right?
They really could name it anything they want. You know, I think that should be up to the fans in that area to try to, you know, like they've done in the past, have a fan contest to try to name the teams or something like that. See what's popular down there.
That could work too. Like maybe the general manager stuff could come up with like about four or five names and then let the fans help narrow it down and stuff. Their vote could count like for like 40% or something like that. That's a good idea. Like I said, you're one of my favorite players to watch, and I you got my back. When you come up with some MMA stuff, just let me know, and then I'll help share it out and everything like that. Because you're a major league lacrosse player, you're an MMA guy, and I love it. And you're great to talk to in person as well. When you come to Denver, you're focused, you're mean, but you're nice at the same time. That's pretty cool.
The motto at our gym at home was savages with a smile. That's what we try to do. We try to compete hard, but we're always nice people.
And you do. What JoJo's hitting your question, okay? If you ever play attack for fun, how much fun would it be?
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of just getting beat on by long poles. You know, actually, when we played in Denver, I think Anthony Kelly was out with an injury, and I had to face off against the three Simon there, and they had two poles on the wings too, and that was a painful day for me. Just every time I picked up the ball, I was getting beat by long pole. That's no fun. You know, I give a lot of credit to the attackman just going to the net hard all the time and getting beat on for the entire game. That's something I would not look to.
That's funny, man. John Orlandi, it's a good day for the CrossFit JoJo Warjumper, Ivy Radio, MLL Radio, Laxer Radio Experience. Thank you for your time and have fun today and at your gym when you're going to do your MMA stuff today. And encourage your team to play hard and have a good time this coming week in the playoffs.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on there. Go Rats.
There you go. Thank you for your time, my man. Everybody, it's a good day for lacrosse with JoJo Wardrum. That was John Orlandi. Find him on Facebook. Find him on Twitter. Find him on Instagram. And hit him up. The dude's a hardcore dude, and I mean that in a very good way. Rochester Rattlers, Ohio Machine, this weekend in the playoffs. And then following that game, we got the New York Lizards hosting the Boston Cannons. Fantastic, man. Talk to you all later next week. Oh, everybody, real quick, my next week, Wednesday, my show next Wednesday is going to be scheduled for either a Thursday or Friday. I'll give everybody a heads up because I'm doing some other ventures during my regular scheduled Wednesday. So without further ado, I'll talk to you all soon. And looking forward to talking to John off the radio show to talk about lacrosse and major league and mixed martial arts. Without further ado, take it easy, everybody. See you next week.